Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. I love the Lord, our God and King. I praise the name of the Lord. I love the Lord, my God and King. I love Jesus. And I love the Holy Spirit. God's will towards us is perfect. He loves us so much. And I love Him. Now, as we go forward, thriving in the Lord. We've been talking about thriving the last couple of weeks. You have to be open to new vision. God, wherever God is going, He's an ever increasing God. And we're made in His image. So in our corrected state, we become ever increasing people. People of the world, they are also made in God's image. But because they've gone the route of the world and they allow the world system, they allow themselves to operate within the world system, and then many are of the world system, and until they get saved, they're not of God yet. They were still made in His image. But then they're not in the kingdom of God, and they are of the world. We live on earth right beside the world system, but we're not of the world. We are of the kingdom of God. And we have to learn to reject the ways of darkness. When you get saved, you're out of that kingdom. But in part, people operate according to that kingdom until Christ is formed in them and until they learn the living ways of God. Now, people can go most of their life, they can stop the sin process, but they don't always stop the operation process of the world, such as the way that they govern themselves, or the way that they build businesses, or even churches. The way that they build their ministry, sometimes they use limitations of the world. And what I'm saying is, until Christ is formed in people, some of the residual ways of the world remain. As we study the Word of God, we're looking into more light, and as we receive it and operate in it, we have greater understanding. And as we have greater understanding and greater knowledge and greater wisdom, then we can make the necessary adjustments, and we will operate like God on a greater way. Now, the world don't have that process, so as you go forward in the Lord, you will look peculiar to them. You operate according to the love and integrity of God's word. And they didn't know, you know, they may feel like, well, I can't do that. In the world, people judge, you know, if they see you doing something remarkable, they'll think you're smart. Because the world says God has nothing to do with us. But they don't realize that the Lord is right there with you, helping you out. He's giving you counsel and wisdom and knowledge, and you fear God, and he strengthens you spiritually, and you're enabled to do things that many people couldn't do. Many people wouldn't have the spiritual strength to do what you may be doing, to get up early and pray for people, and you are intercede for people in your spare time, and you have energy to perform your duties every day. And when you go to church and you're strengthened to love people according to God's love. And eventually you may learn to love in His strength and without restraint, without restriction. Even your worst enemies, you can still love and pray for them. You can It's more than just concern. You actually help people when they can't help themselves. And you help them do the things that should be done. even when you know fact for factual, even though you know for a fact that they mistreated you. We operate in the God kind of love, in the God kind of strength, and we learn the God kind of knowledge and the God kind of wisdom. And the more you operate according to the Word of God, the more you will want to know Him. Now, the last broadcast we talked about making adjustments. You have to see yourself doing the things that God has given you. You make the adjustments that's necessary. You make life adjustment, habit adjustment, better decisions. And when you're ready, the Lord will reveal to you things that He wants you to do. Everybody has a purpose, and God has a plan for every soul. But when you draw near to the Lord, that's the only way I know to find it. Otherwise, you won't perform it. You won't do what's necessary. You can't follow God with the world's mindset. It will hinder you in every way. When people, even though they're smart, they can pass tests, they can go to college, pass tests, understand, do remarkable things, and make witty inventions. Following God is different. You're relying on Him, not your own strength. And that's usually the first challenge when it comes to following God. The will to release your will into His. The will to put your thoughts secondary, God's thoughts first. It's in the natural world, you trust yourself more than anybody else. But as you get to know the Lord, you learn and you desire to trust God more than you trust yourself. And when that's in place, everything develops like it should. Now, every ministry has its own unique purpose. The biggest mistake that people make, but if they're not in sin, is conforming their ministry to the people that they look to. I love Brother Hagin. I learned from him. I received his message. I go back and listen to him. And I love Fred Price. I love Kenneth Copeland. I love great men of God. I love Charles Capps. I really did a lot for my life listening to, learning how to confess and focus my faith where I needed it in life. I love anointed men of God. But if I look to them, if I look to any one of these great men of God, I'll be limited. When I first came to the Lord, I loved Elder Lewis, and I still do. I thank God for him. He helped me gain a great foundation. And I love every man of God that I've ever heard. You know, I learned something from each one. A Methodist pastor, friend of my dad's, Reverend Rice, I learned from him not to worry. I saw my daddy be dedicated. I learned dedication from my dad. And my daddy loved people. When he would get off work, he would hum a song. He was one of the most content people I ever seen in my life. That man operated according to the peace of God. And I still tell people, follow the peace. And Mom Power, I saw in her a relationship. I highly value a relationship with God. And I thought everybody that was baptized with the Holy Spirit and filled with the Holy Spirit was like Mom Power. She was full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Now, I've seen people that's full of wisdom and not full of the Holy Ghost, and I've seen people that's full of the Holy Ghost and not so much with wisdom. But it raised the standards. All these people had, whatever they had, they raised the standards of my life. Pastor AJ taught balance. Elder May, I don't think nobody hated sin more than Elder May. He taught against sin. He taught loving God. He taught being dedicated. But I thank God for all these wonderful people. But you can't look to wonderful people. You got to look to Jesus. Only Jesus can take you beyond the greatest people that you know of. It's not a slap in the face to do better than your predecessors. That's, if you really want to honor your pastor, do better than he did. Not in competition. You're learning what he learned the hard way at a younger age. Receive his word, look to Jesus, and you will do greater than your pastor and your parents. Parents that love their children and they continue to operate according to God's word and wisdom, and they teach their children what to watch out for. They teach them God. They teach them God's ways. They teach them to fear the Lord. They teach them to receive wisdom and knowledge from the Lord. They teach them to be patient and to excel properly and not jump the gun in the race of their life. This is what good parents do. Now, if the children of those parents really want to honor the parents, they need to do better than the parents. If you have a good pastor that guided you in life and helped you avoid mistakes, married and gave you counsel to secure your marriage and married the right person in the first place, just giving you wisdom. Good pastors don't tell you who to marry, but they tell you things that you need to know. And I'm going to tell you something about pastors that love you. Pastors know the people. I've learned to respect the words of a pastor concerning the people that he knows. He knows what's going on in people's lives, and he knows them personally. He knows them. He knows what kind of temperament they have, what they're going through. And what you have to, if you receive the advice from a loving pastor that really loves the people, you can make the most sober decisions concerning people, especially if you're interested in marrying somebody from that congregation. When you talk about who you're interested in, watch his eyebrows. They'll tell the whole story. But anyway, beyond that, people that love you will give you good advice. But only the Holy Spirit can take you where he's going. That's why you got to follow him. Now, a lot of people don't know this. A lot of good men of God, they never heard any kind of teaching like this before. But I bet if you listen to the tapes of these men that I listen, they will say the same thing in their way of saying it. But even if they didn't, this is still true. The Holy Spirit knows what's necessary. He thinks of everything. He designed you. He prepared you. If you keep drawing near to him, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you to do the most necessary thing. And it can be totally different than what everybody, even your greatest pastors, even Kenneth Hagin, have done. And I love these wonderful men of God. Now, Howard Carter, I read his books. I read some of the writings written by him, about him, things that he did. I would love to know him, but what I read about him, I like that guy. And I read Lester Sumrall's book, Pioneers of Faith, and all the wonderful people he wrote about, and people that taught him, just like I named people that have been blessing to me in my lifetime. Now, What I want you to know is this. You got to look beyond God's best people on earth. Now, a couple of years ago, I started listening to Henry Gruber. He's one of the most outstanding men of God I ever seen in my life. And what I like about him, he obeys God. I have learned so many things that I never could. I never heard anybody teach till I listened to him. Because he followed God. I learned some things about remitting sin that I didn't know. And I know it's true. Some of the things that he testified about, I've seen it, but I didn't know how to put it in words. God called him the prayer walk. See, when you follow God, he can give you something that's very simple to do. Very simple. And it'll make the greatest change ever. It'll pioneer the way for other things to happen. I listened to Henry Gruber. It's easier to find on YouTube. Now, you can go to his website, joyfulsound.com. And you can get these broadcasts from his website, which is the best thing to do. But it's also on YouTube. Somebody piratedly put him on YouTube, which I'm glad they did. That's how I was introduced to him. See, YouTube will help bring you together with people. I might have to put my website on YouTube so people can find my website better. YouTube is great. That's how I found out about the Ugandan pastor, and that's how I found out about Henry Gruber and Steve Quayle. Steve Quayle has a Joseph's ministry that's very important. The Lord's got me listening to him, and I thank God for it. When you follow God, you have to make the most ultimate adjustments. He can take you so far beyond the way you normally think, but it's better. I use all the principles of everybody I ever learned from, and I incorporate it into my everyday activity. Just like I said, I learned not to worry about Reverend Rice. He preached a sermon, one of the best sermons I ever heard about not worrying. He probably, if he was still living, I don't know if he's living now or not, but he probably would have forgotten about it. But I remember that message. It stuck. When I was just a kid, I was about 19 years old. But I had ears to hear. You can rely on the Lord and not worry. Worry destroys the strength you already got. The Lord taught me that much later on. If you got a problem and just don't worry about it, you get to keep the strength you got. Now my pastor taught about it. He said, worry the word of God, which is worry is a form of deep concentration. So deeply concentrate on the word of God. He said, worry the word, and you'll see how to kill your problem. And I believe in killing my problems, not people. I'm just talking about the miseries of life, the attacks of the enemy, evil words spoken. You can kill those things out. You can drive it out of your life. Now, as you follow God's leading, he'll give you his perfect and most holy things to do. His will, God's will is holy. If you treat it that way, if you don't argue against it and receive it and receive the new vision that comes from obeying him, you're going to be able to do the things you really desire to do. A lot of people are frustrated because they really want to make a difference. They have a drive to make a difference. And they can't do it with the knowledge that they have already. You're going to have to rely on God's knowledge now. Use the principles you've learned from all the wonderful men and women of God that you've heard of. But take that next step. Follow the Holy Spirit. Go where he's guiding you to go. Do what he's guiding you to do. Put your heart in it. Now, I learned to protect God's will in my life. I don't let the devil steal God's will out of my life. Once the Lord gives me something to do, I jump on it. I speak it till I'm 100% on board with his perfect will. And then I perform it. And in his strength, everything that you do, if you do it in his strength, you can really do it well. You know, when you do things in the strength of the Lord, you do it, you don't lose encouragement. In fact, whatever you do in God's strength, you do it in a thriving way. And when you make the right adjustments, the living adjustments, it can be puzzling to you. You may feel, what am I doing? But follow the peace. When you follow the peace of God, you're doing very well. You're making the right step. You are operating according to the most perfect form of knowledge and wisdom. You are doing the best thing that you could possibly be doing, according to the strategy of God for your life, your level of knowledge and wisdom. When you do what you're sanctioned for, you can make the best choice ever. But as you follow God, as you obey Him, as you do His word, do His will, consider Him. When he brings things to you to teach Him, or things to do, that's the highest form of wisdom that you can perform, especially at that point in your life. Now, I want to be clear on some things. There are some wonderful works out there that He will call people to do. But if he didn't guide me to do it, then I'm not sanctioned for that. Some things yes, some things no. Henry Gruber was called to prayer walk. I knew nothing about prayer walking. As I listened to his broadcast on YouTube and hear his testimony, I can identify with it. But I had no clue that I could remit the sins. I want to give you an example. He went to places where people spill blood, where they kill people. And poverty came to those areas. All forms of wherever people get killed, like in the projects, the gang wars, the corruption, wherever blood is spilled in the ground or poverty rests there, He would remit the sins of those places. Now, you can go to YouTube and listen to Him. He said after He remit the sins of the places where there was bloodshed, the place would come to life. People would build houses, hotels, and businesses. I didn't know that was possible, but in 1995 to 1996, I used to do a newsletter, and there used to be a gunfight every other weekend since 1990. When I learned about authority from Kenneth Hagin, and they started shooting, I lived in a neighborhood where there was drug activity. And eventually somebody would sell drugs where they shouldn't have, and in another person's territory, you know, whatever, or somebody would steal money or something, and they would have a conflicted gunfight. And this happened so often, I would just wake up out of my sleep rebuking Satan, telling him he can't kill anybody, can't hurt anybody. And I would intercede for that neighborhood. I told Satan, now I know it's Friday night, you can't kill anybody, you can't hurt anybody. But when I heard the gunfights, I will say it again. You can't kill anybody. You can't hurt anybody in Jesus' name. I bet the 911 of that area got tired of me calling them, because every gunfight, I would call and report it. While it was happening, or right after it had happened. And then after about 30 minutes, the police would come. After things had calmed down, And it was bad. It was like, I know the difference between firecrackers and all and different types of guns. And sometimes it was semi-automatic weapons. But I got used to winning, and I learned to fight Satan there. But when I did the good newsletter, I did it almost about 1 year, or a year and a half, from 95 to, well, yeah, it was more than a year. I stopped in August of 96, and there were no gunfights from the time I began doing the good newsletter till I moved. Now, that's the closest thing I know of to remitting sins. But I put my foot on the ground. I was walking the neighborhood passing out those good newsletters. And every now and then I get to minister salvation to people. Not often, but the Lord told me people got saved just from the newsletter itself. And I got a chance to talk to a few people about the Lord. But all the gunfighting stopped that while I did that newsletter. So I was surprised I can receive what Henry Groover said. When you listen to his messages, you can see what happens when you obey the Lord. When you do, you know, obeying God is not for cowards. If you're a coward, then you got to rise above that. If you feel cowardly, just rise above it. Speak it down. Speak it out of your life. And speak that you love God. And you love his ways, his people. Say that I'll do all that's in God's heart. You got to mean it. And your encouragement and bravery will grow in you. And eventually your perfect love will drive that fear out like it's an evil Canaanite. Just like Israel did drive out some of the worst Canaanites. But they let some of them remain. And thank God for the one that they drove out, most of them. And they should have finished the job with the Philistines. Now they got trouble. See, the enemy uses the Philistines, the Palestinians, which used to be their modern-day Philistines, basically. And they got claimed, they're trying to keep the land that God gave Israel. And the world system sides with the Palestinians. And the Christian nation side with Israel. And so the next world war will probably start there because they didn't finish driving out the Philistines. If they had driven them out, there'd be no argument and there wouldn't be a beef. But now there's that nation. See, the world system hate God. That is not about the Philistines. They're trying to send a message that they can live without God. And they can't. That's the spiritual problem. Now, a lot of people are atheists, and they don't even acknowledge God. But the love of the world is enmity against God and all that he stands for, and the enemy can easily manipulate and stir them up. So, when you make a decision to follow God, you're going to fight the best battles, and you're going to win. But you got to pay attention and receive the training that the Lord will give you personally, and the mission that he's giving you now. And you have to do it, you have to put your heart in it. And receive the new vision. Stop expecting only to do what your predecessors did. As you follow God, you will go far beyond all that. And you will make all that they taught you worth a whole lot more. You're not doing them wrong. You're honoring them. That's the only way you can honor them. Jesus said, he that believe will do greater works than me in John chapter 14. So that's your real pattern. Look at him and you'll do greater works than Jesus. If you should do greater works than Jesus, you're really expected to do greater works than the greatest man of God ever. Even Paul. And we all love Paul and Peter and John. But to honor them, you got to do greater works than them. Because you can read everything about what they did in one day, and you've got the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He can mightily move in throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you dearly, in Jesus' mighty name.